Shalom, everyone. As you can't tell, I'm a little bit nervous. This is my first time actually giving a message up here, so bear with me. Today I'm going to be talking about light and its role in Scripture and actually our physical universe as we know it. I know, this is a light subject, right? Pun intended. Anyway, again, the title of my message is going to be Nature of Light. And we see light mentioned throughout Scripture in several different instances, and light serves as a guide in the darkness. It sheds itself in order to show us the way when we are in darkness. To start, I'm going to have you turn with me to Psalm 119, verses 105 through 130. Get the big one out of the way right away. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, and I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am affected very much. Quicken me, O Yahweh, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Yahweh, and teach me of thy judgments. My soul continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare before me, have laid a snare before me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but for thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place, my shield, my hope, and my word. The gist of this scripture is that his word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And so, how I want to say this. It's a guiding light for us. Now, my next slide here, I have some facts about light, physical light. And what I'm going to try to do today is tie together the traits of physical light to the essence of Yahweh. And there are actually pretty mind-blowing things about this. So some facts about light. Light travels at a speed of about 300,000 kilometers per second. Light energy is always moving, and therefore it cannot be stored. Light is not affected by time as we know it. All the forms of radiation and light on the electromagnetic spectrum, humans can only see a very, very small amount of light that's actually in the universe. Light is always traveling at the same speed, that is, the speed of light, the 300,000 kilometers per second forever. It never slows down. In the event that light does hit something, let's say a prism, you know, it makes the rainbow, right? It's still traveling at the same speed. It's simply taking a longer route. So no matter what happens, light remains consistent. It remains the same. It is unchanging, and it cannot be stored. Psalm 104, verses 1 and 2 says, "Bless Yahweh, O my soul, O Yahweh, my Elohim. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain." The only thing that could travel at speed of light is a massless vehicle, because photons don't have mass. It would have to be a spirit. So let's say we have a massless vehicle. It would travel with the light. It would never pull even a tiny bit ahead of it. You could say it would be wrapped in light, right? As an object approaches the speed of light, time for everything around it reaches a standstill. Like if you're driving down the road, time, technically speaking, on a very, very minor scale, is slowed down for you if you're moving any faster than just a standstill. Granted, it's a negligible difference. Like, you can't just go driving down the interstate and live forever. It's not how it works. However, it does affect things around you and yourself in a very minor way. An object traveling very near the speed of light could travel forever, essentially, before even an instant began for it. The concept of time doesn't really even apply to light. Now, what else do we know of that the concept of time does not apply to? Yahweh, right? I believe I have a slide for this one. No, I don't. Okay. Turn with me over to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. I forgot to correct that. Hang on just one second. Let me see if I can find it. I corrected all this last night, but it didn't transfer over to my slides. So forgive me for that. It's these tiny books. I always have trouble turning to them. There it is. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses, let's start at verse 4, and I'll just read on through here. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, by the word of Elohim, the heavens of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was overflowed with water perished, but as the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved for the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of wicked men. Now, this is not the exact verse I had in mind, but it still sort of serves the same purpose. The earth as we know it, it changes around us every day. But for Yahweh, it's the same as it was the moment he said, let there be light. It's, to him, it's the same instant, the exact same moment in time that happened. An object with no mass must always travel at the speed of light. Such an object would never have a before or a beginning. It couldn't. Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith Yahweh, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And also in Isaiah 40, verse 8, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting Elohim, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. So light never slows down. Light never stops. Light cannot be stored. Yahweh is wrapped in light. What does that tell us about him? Do we not know, have we not heard that the everlasting Elohim, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. He's still not tired, because to him, there is no time. He has had no time to get tired. He's beyond that. And there is no searching of his understanding. One thing I have learned a lot of when working at this ministry is that there are millions of people in the world that are desperately trying to understand Yahweh. They're putting him they're trying to label him with things that they have no right to label him with. They can't. Yahweh says that there's no searching for his understanding. It is a vain pursuit to try to put him in a box. And that is one of the biggest things. People say we don't have authority on this. We don't have XYZ. The church fathers say this. The church fathers were wrong too. They tried to put him in a box as well. And when you do that, you wind up with the mess that we're in today. As I said, an object with no mass must always travel at the speed of light. It would never have a before or a beginning. The object's origin, its journey, and its destination would all be simultaneous. It would all be happening all at once. Now, in Isaiah 46, nope, don't have a slide for that one either. Thought I did. That's okay. In Isaiah 46, verse 10, Isaiah is always easy to find. You can just open it up, and the odds are you'll land in it. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. How can you declare the end from the beginning? A lot of people think, oh, well, it sounds like a fortune teller. Or it's somebody that is outside of time. He declares the end from the beginning because the end and the beginning are simultaneous for Yahweh. It's all the same to him. Again, we try to put Yahweh in a box with our concept of time. We try to put someone outside of time into the confines of time, and it doesn't work. Again, the object's journey, destination, and origin, journey, and destination would all be simultaneous. A billion light-year trip, I'm using the word billion for sake of the argument here, a billion light-year trip for a photon from a distant quasar may take billions of years in our time. But it would literally take no time at all for the photon to arrive at its destination. In fact, the journey would have never started because it's the exact same time. Its end is exact as the beginning. There's a lot of science behind this. And I find a lot of times people shy away from science behind the pulpit. And if you really look into science with an open mind, like our little ad said before services began, you have to look at it with an open mind. And if you look at scripture with an open mind, the same way you look at science with an open mind, a lot of times you'll find science does nothing but put nails in its own coffin. It shows and proves Yahweh time and time and time again. Photons, back on track here, photons are the reason we can see. Scientifically, they're the reason we can see. Scientifically, they're the reason we know anything about our place in the universe, because without photons, there's no light. And without light, we can't see. Now, they're responsible scientifically for life as we know it. But some people ask, why is the speed of light what it is? Could it be faster or slower? Theoretically, sure, it probably could be. But why is the universe only one of these ways instead of some other way that it could be? Why are the laws of physics what they are? There's a reason they're called laws, people, because they were written long before the foundations of the earth. And so why are the laws of physics what they are instead of some other way? Well, there's a lot of theories, and perhaps there's something that science has yet to discover that compels the universe to be this way. Just because science hasn't discovered it doesn't mean that we don't know what it is, though. We know who compels the universe to be the way that it is. The word universe, I mean, that word alone is testament to Yahweh's creation. And they say it all the time while denying him. The irony in that's delicious. If you go to Job chapter 9, I knew I should have had all these marked, but I just didn't do it. Job chapter 9, verses 8 through 10. Actually, you know what? I'll start in verse 4. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreads out the heavens, and treads upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, and Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which does great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. A lot of times, Job is a perfect example of this. There's a lot of poetic writing in Job. And a lot of times people will take these, the Bible's an interesting book in the way that it transitions from literal to figurative to spiritual to physical to poetic back to literal all in three verses. And you have to be able to have a spirit of discernment to know these things. And so whenever you see this, for example, Job 9 talking about, for example, 9:9, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. It's poetic, it is, but it's also literal. Yahweh laid out the heavens. Back in Isaiah. Got a lot of Isaiah today. That's okay. Isaiah 55, verses 9 through 13. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Right off the bat, we're finding out that Yahweh, his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And what do? We turn around and we're like, well, I think I understand it. He just told you that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. Anyway, moving on. Chapter 55:10. As for the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you, singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And instead of thorns shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be unto Yahweh for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So we all know that Yahweh is responsible for the way the universe is. What we don't know is why he's responsible for that. We just is. We don't know why Yahweh is. We just know that Yahweh is. And Scripture time and time again tells us over and over again, reiterates, in whether it's in literal speech, spiritual speech, physical, or poetry, that to try to put him in a box is an impossibility. As humans, we strive and yearn for an explanation. Why? I mean, look at all the great, and I'll use air quotes, thinkers of their time. Why? Who are we? What's the point? What's our purpose? We want to label things and file them neatly away because it makes us feel secure in ourselves. It makes us feel like we've accomplished something. For example, you can probably make a pretty safe bet that scientists put a label on light once they found out how fast it goes. Once they found out that time is irrelevant for light, they've got it all figured out. So they slap a label on it and they file it away to be looked up later. And they try to do the same thing with Yahweh, and it's an you can't do it. You can't do it. How can you put a label on something that's always been? That alone is a ridiculous thought. You can't put Yahweh in a box. Much like light, he cannot be stored. A lot of times in that modern religion, I'll call it, is the what have you done for me lately religions of the world. They want to put him in a box, they want to call on him when they need him, and they want to get a benefit when they do so. They think it's like a light switch, like literally like electricity. It's hot? Well, I'll turn on the electricity, it'll cool me off. They think that they can call on Yahweh and, I'm hurting. I'll call on him now and he'll fix it. He'll fix it. And he will, provided that you obey him. That's the kicker to all this. He's not something that you can label away and put in a box and then call on him when you need him. You need to live your life with him. You need to always have him with you. And you need to understand that you can't understand him. That's the biggest challenge that we face, is we need to understand that we won't know it all until he tells us. And that's a challenge for a lot of people, a lot of intellectual people. There's a reason why Scripture tells us that we are to be as children. They don't question. And you don't want to sound like you're some robotic drone. You know, Pastor Randy's mentioned before, he doesn't want drones. He doesn't want robots. I believe Alan's mentioned it too. He wants people that willingly submit themselves to him. There's nothing wrong with striving to understand the one we worship, but in our sinful nature, we cannot perceive Yahweh. We can't. Our physical temples are not capable of seeing his glory. He tells us that too. If we look upon him now, no man has looked upon him and lived. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, you know, when Moses is up in the cleft of the rock, he says, you might see, like, you can't see my face. You can't. There's a reason we see through a glass darkly. Space all around us is dark, because light is only visible when it has an object off which to reflect. It's full of light, but unless it has something to reflect off of, you will never know it's there. Much like Yahweh is only visible when we obey and live our lives and let his light shine like a city on a hilltop. Nobody would ever know that Yahweh existed unless we were living our lives in a way that showed people that he exists. So you can't put Yahweh in a box. You can't call on him when you need him and put him away when you don't, or you think you don't. You have to live your life every day like he is right there with you. Just a little side note here. Science has recently discovered, well, recently is a pretty relevant term, but space, when you look out in into the universe, space is full of this black matter, and they don't really know what it is. It's called dark matter. They don't really know what it is, but they know that it's plasma-like and a water-like substance. That's what they know. But what they don't know, well, some of them might know this, but Scripture tells us that Yahweh resides among the dark waters. Yahweh resides in a place where we, in the heavens. So there's the heavens, there's the dark waters. He's up there somewhere. But again, looking for him physically is not how you're going to find him. You need to live, let him live through you and let people see that light on a hilltop. But that's it. Yahweh bless you, and I pray that this message has been a blessing and that you learned a little something about light. It's a very, very interesting subject. You should look it up and study it out for yourself. You'll be happy you did. Yahweh bless you.